God wants all peoples to hear a warning and a witness message. And he also wants them to hear about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You cannot leave Christ, his life, his personality, how he said and thought and did things, what he taught, the message he brought, how he lived and the example he set. You cannot leave the person and the personality out of the message, because the message, apart from that person and the personality who gave it and who brought it, is a sterile message that does not connote, does not convey to your heart, to your innermost being, the fact that your Savior took his back and bared it to the lash and took himself and allowed himself to be beaten and whipped within an inch of his life and was then stabbed in the side with a spear as he hung dying on a stake for you, for your sins, for your past wretchedness and your mistakes, for your bad attitudes and your carnal human nature. And if your message, if what you're going to preach and teach is absent and is devoid of the person, the personality, as well as the crucifixion, the crucified body, and the life of Jesus Christ that he gave, then that would be a sterile message indeed. It must absolutely, at all costs, revolve around the central figure of the gospel, which is that great personality who brought the gospel, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the greatest prophet who ever lived, the soon-coming king, the high priest, the one who was going to be the world ruler for 1,000 years. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, it says in Revelation, the 20th chapter, in the 4th verse. The one who is promised, as we have seen in this series in the book of Revelation, rulership over the nations. If you were to ask, what are the two most important scriptures in all the Bible that tell you what the saints will be doing on out into the kingdom of God? What are the two most important scriptures that tell you what happens after death, after the resurrection? What will you be doing with all eternity? Then they don't need any interpretation. You don't need a guy in a funny garment who looks kind of like a preacher and who has a lot of degrees like doctors of letters or what have you to tell you what this means. I'll just read it to you the way it is in the King James Bible with no comment. First, Revelation 2:26-27. Quote, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." End quote. The next scripture is found in Revelation 3 and verse 21. Quote, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." End of quote. The two most important scriptures I can think of in all the Bible that tell you what you're going to be doing in the millennium, in that period of the rulership of Jesus Christ on this earth, is Revelation 2:26 and 3:21, that says the saints will be ruling over cities, states, nations, will be co-heirs, co-rulers with Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. Well, we had come last time in this book of Revelation, a series of programs through this mysterious book of symbols, to a couple of the inset introductory chapters where you see a vision from John of many strange things that we see up in heaven, as it were. And that's in the 4th chapter, where we're ready to begin now in this program. He said in chapter 4 and verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter." Now he said in the first chapter that he was, quote, in the Spirit, end quote, in the Lord's day. That is, he was transported in vision, in the mind's eye, as if he were seeing a vivid technicolor cinemascope dream, and it seemed that all these things were happening, but this was all in vision, right inside of his own mind. He said, immediately I was in the Spirit, meaning once again, not that he physically, in body, was transported one place or another, but that he, right there on the earth, in the little, maybe a building of some sort, wherever it was that he was, on the island of Patmos, that's the Apostle John, when he received this vision, was in the Spirit, meaning in the mind's eye, mentally, inside his mind, he saw these things. And behold, he said, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat on it was to look upon like a jasper and a sardonyx, as it might read, or sardine stone, it's called here. And he was trying in his own language, because he had to use the language of his day to describe the unbelievable, glittering, bejeweled-like appearance of the fabulous sights of all the hues of precious stones, diamonds, rubies, emeralds, of every kind of jewelry that you could imagine, gold and silver and the like, and the very colors of the rainbow. Matter of fact, he said it was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. He must have seen a lot of the green hues and the green tones of it. And round about that, he said, there were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. These elders speak a little bit later on, you will see, in the 5th chapter. Who are they? I don't know. Don't have the faintest idea. They aren't described elsewhere, except a vague reference here or there, right on in the 5th chapter. But apparently they are great, exalted, spiritual beings on an high angelic level, perhaps up to the level of almost that of archangels or even above. And apparently God Almighty, even at His throne in heaven, does have spiritual beings that sit about that throne with whom He may confer from time to time. 24 of them, that's 2 times 12. There may be some significance to that number. They're clothed in white raiment. They had on their heads crowns of gold. And he said in verse 5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. The only other place you know those 7 spirits appears to be right here in the 2nd and 3rd chapters of the book of Revelation, introduced in the 1st chapter, where you read about the angels of the churches. And notice, all of those 7 spirits are alive, are apparently active. It doesn't say that 6 of them have retired. It doesn't say that the first 3 have gone way off somewhere. And of course, those who think that there are eras of the church know exactly what I'm talking about. If these 7 spirits are what they appear to be, the 7 angels over the 7 so-called churches, then these are those eyes, as it were, of God throughout the entirety of the earth, the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth, like 7 eyes, we're going to see a little bit later on. Does that mean, then, that all 7 are alive, active, extant at the same time? I'll tell you this, whatever these 7 spirits mean, they are, as we will see in the 5th chapter, alive and extant and active, because they are called the very eyes, the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. 7 is perfection, completion, fulfillment. We'll get to that perhaps just a little bit later on again. He said, and before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And he talked about around the midst of the throne, and around about the throne were 4 creatures, living creatures, full of eyes, before and behind. Now this is a really mysterious part of the Bible, and I want to take a little bit of time to expound it and explain it to you, because here are some great beasts, as it says in the original here. You could translate that living creature out of the Greek language. The first beast, or the first living creature, was like a lion, and the second like a calf, and the third had a face as of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. Now, what in the world did that mean? Here was the whole body, the whole appearance of that first living creature was like, if you looked at it and didn't notice some of the other details, like that of a lion. The second was like a calf. And the third had the face of a man. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. And it says in the next verse, and the 4 living creatures had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, and from this, of course, comes one of the famous hymns of the Protestant world, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Now, what in the world are those creatures?